Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
But kind of just real quickly, the reason we're doing this is because we understand and know that no matter, and if you're married, you can agree with this, all marriages at some point in time need help. Amen. Can I have a better amen there from all the married people said?
Amen.
We all know this, amen? And when we get the help, we don't need it quite as, the more help we get, the less we're going to need it down the road.
Yes.
Amen to that too, okay? So again, marriage is not without challenges, and we're going to talk about some of those today. We're going to have fun today. Everybody say fun.
Fun.
Now, again, we're going to be doing two more parts to this, and they're going to be very dynamic the next 2 weeks, so make sure you're here with us. But again, we either tell you marriages either get better or they get worse. They do not stand still. The problem that we have in today's time is we think our marriage is just kind of leveled out and doing okay. Okay or good is the enemy of the best and the great. God designed you to have the best marriage and the greatest marriage on planet Earth. Every one of us. Amen. So anything less than God's best, we are settling and we're actually, everybody say, going backwards. We're actually going backwards. We're not going forward, okay? So now again, I know I drive this thing home, but I want you to understand this. Go ahead and put up the first note. Always, marriage works what? 100% of the time when you do it whose way?
God's
way. There is no failure. There is no going backwards. God is always taking godly marriages done in His Word in a forward motion. Okay? Does everybody say yeah?
Yeah.
Now, over the last week, we talked about the letter H. Everybody say H.
H.
We talked about how your marriage can be heaven or hell. And we talked a lot about where the wife is given to the husband as a helper. Everybody say helper. Today's message is brought to you by the letter E. Everybody say E.
E.
Now, without any of these, you have missing letters. And it's not complete. So you got to have the help. You got to have the honesty. You got to have heaven in your life. And today's letter is going, everybody say E.
E.
Now, there's several letters that E can represent. The first one, these ain't going to be in your notes, so you may want to write these down. But the first one is extra. Everybody say extra.
Extra.
Extra in marriage means you may be married to that person. They're just a little extra. Somebody feel some elbows slinging right now. Some hands are going up. Sure, I'm sitting right next to her, him, right now. They're a little extra, so therefore you and your marriage also have to learn to go the extra mile. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to get off that one real quick. Some marriages, and every marriage I know, really needs this next E word involved in it, and that's the word we call endure. Because especially if you've got a little bit of extra in your spouse, you got to endure that. You got to endure that they're a little extra sometimes. You got to endure that they need some extra love or some extra attention or some extra patience sometimes. And guys, you got to endure that. It's quiet in this house today. So again, some of you are doing very smart. You're staying very neutral. You're not poking. Because you know you'll pay for it later.
Amen.
I understand that. So you're probably going to use more wisdom in this series than I am. Man, did I catch it last week. Dear God, when I started talking about my wife's weight, my kids, how they eat, men are like, well, they unloaded on me. But that don't deter me. Amen. But I'm going to try to do, I need help. Help me, Jesus. So we have extra, we have endure, and then these last three are where we're going to land today. And the last three are emotions. That could just be a whole month series on its own, just on our emotions in life, in marriage, and every day our emotions, our feelings. The second one, the next to the last one, is called energy. Everybody say energy.
Energy.
Energy, effort, strength. Amen. Do you have the energy for your spouse? Do you have the energy to be married? Because it takes a lot of energy to be married.
Amen.
It takes a lot of energy to be married, a lot of strength to be married to those extra people.
Amen.
Not talking about number of people, just the extra in them. Make sure I verify that this message goes out. And then we're going to end today on the last E is the word expectations. Ooh, I really just want to preach the other two so fast where I can get straight to expectations. But it is very important to know about the emotional side of your life and your marriage and the energy that it consumes to have a godly marriage. Because you're not going to have a godly marriage without putting effort in it.
Yep.
And a lot of effort and a lot of energy. Amen? So everybody say, let's deal with the emotions. Put up the first note on that, please. Everybody say emotions. No, not that. Back up. Get that down, 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 hit the button, get that down. Never mind, leave it up. I'm checking to see if I put that in your notes. No, I did not. It's not on them. Somebody say it's on you. Listen, I'm celebrating up there. We're going to get there. But I got ahead of myself. Let me ask you a question. Everybody say question.
Question.
Who did you marry? I know it's one of those duh moments. Why do you think they call the 12 people that followed Jesus duh disciples? Because there's some duh moments we have. Who did you marry? And they go, well, Pastor, I married him or her. I mean, you want their name? I'll give you their name. I married Tim. Tim married me. That's a stupid question. Not in the context of our emotions, our energy, and our expectations. It's not really a stupid question. Because what I find is a lot of people really tried to marry themselves. They really did. So let me just put it this way. When you stood up there before the pastor or whoever married you in the presence of God, God is at every true wedding because he's the creator.
Amen.
Who did you take your vows to? And I try to find out nowadays, most people really, they may be saying them to them, but they're taking their vow to themselves. I'm going to love me. I'm going to be there for me. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But the root of all marriage problems, now go ahead and put it up. Y'all didn't see this coming, did you? The root of all marriage problem goes really down to this one word called selfishness. Whew, I know, and that hurts, that stings a little bit. Because selfishness does not make it about another person. Selfishness brings it to 0 point back into me, the individual. And anytime I get selfish in marriage, it's going to affect everything I do. It's not only going to affect my spouse, it's going to affect if we have kids, it's going to affect the way I do at work, it's going to affect every part of my life, church, everything. Selfishness is a horrible thing. That's why the devil uses it so much in marriage. It is his number one tool in his toolbox to destroy marriage, is to create in you some selfishness, a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, and then he'll get you to where you're completely absorbed in yourself, in the marriage. You're living for yourself in the marriage, not the other person.
Amen.
And when you get married, you're giving yourself to another person. It's supposed to be that way. Amen?
Amen.
Now then, everybody say emotions.
Emotions.
Now then, go ahead with that next one. They got it up there. God gave us emotions. Say amen.
Amen.
God gave us the ability to feel, to touch, to smell, to feel pain and sorrow and grief, to feel happiness and joy and success. All those are emotions that run the gamut in our life. But God did not give us our emotions for them to control us. But God gave us, by the power of the Holy Spirit in His Word, the ability to control our emotions. And I know that's not popular. But you have the ability to control your emotions if you choose to. You have to submit to the Word of God. You've got to submit to authority. I knew that would fly over like that. But we're taught by society that everything should be about how you feel and just go off your emotions. I'm telling you, you will live a disastrous life if you go by your feelings. Disaster's waiting you. You, your marriage, everything about you, and anyone around you. Because everybody say selfishness one more time. Selfishness. See, selfishness is an emotion. Selfishness is absolutely emotion based on how we feel. And then selfishness based on how we feel develops an attitude we will take toward people and things. And in a marriage, it'll set you up against your spouse instead of working for and with your spouse. Anytime you get selfish in marriage, you're going to be an enemy of your partner. Amen? Now let's talk about emotions. Philippians, these are not going to sound like marriage verses, by the way. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, everybody says the Bible. The Bible says, be anxious, which is an emotion. Be anxious for nothing, but in, including marriage. So I want to read it to you from that marriage standpoint. Be anxious for nothing, but in your marriage, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to who?
God.
Everybody say God first. Not my spouse. God. Let your request be made known to God. Now watch this. What there's a promise and a blessing when you do this. What, again, when you do it 100% the way God says, you get 100% results. So when you do that in your marriage, look at the next verse. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Somebody say, imagine the word working in my marriage. Let me read that same verse to you again out of the NLT version, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Everybody say NLT. I like the way this is worded. It says, don't worry. Again, there's that emotion. Worry is an emotion. Everybody say, that's right. Worry is an emotion. Don't worry about anything. Everybody say anything means anything. Instead, pray about
everything.
Pray about that jerk of a husband. Pray about that nagging wife. Pray about them unruly children. Pray about your marriage. Did you hear that part? Pray about your marriage. Most people don't. Pray about it. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. And I want to park there just for a minute. If you'll go to God and tell Him what you want in your marriage and then thank Him for your marriage, all the good stuff that he or she maybe does this ever once in a while. I think it was Dr. Chapman said he asked a woman one time, well, she was just in there wearing out her husband about something. He said, does he ever do anything good? And she said, well, let me think. She said, like what? He said, well, does he ever take the plate that he's eating maybe back to the kitchen? Well, not all the time. He said, but does he ever do it? Well, he's done it on occasion. Start praising that. Quit looking at all he's not doing. Find the things that he or she is doing well and begin to build right there. Everybody say, you know that's right. But you know we ain't going to do it. Because we too stuck in our emotions. Well, where'd I get to? Let's get to the promise. Verse 7. Then you will, I love this part, experience God's peace, now watch this, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live for Christ Jesus. Your heart and your mind, and I don't have time today, but it's your heart, your mind, your three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Your heart and mind is in your emotions. Your heart and mind need to be shifted. Do you know that if you're both born again in the blood of Jesus Christ, man and woman, your spirits are constantly in perfect love with each other? Perfect love. It's your soulish realm you're having problems with, which leads your body to have problems with it. But if you just take it right down to the spirit level, God has not put two spirits together that are opposite. It's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in me. It's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in my wife. Our spirits will never be at odds with each other if we're in the spirit. The problem is we don't stay in the spirit all the time. We get into the flesh. We get into our soulish realms. Come on. That's why it says when you do this kind of praying, it'll bring your soulish realms in alignment with God's word for your spouse. It'll guard your heart and your mind, how you think and how you feel towards your spouse. That may have been too deep. I don't know. Real quickly, I got a lot of stuff to cover today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Now watch this. I say then, everybody say, walk in the Spirit. Our marriage should be walking in the Spirit. Amen. Walk in the Spirit, and when you do that, the Bible says, you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. The lust of the flesh, when we talk about marriage, is not just sexual lust. It is that a lot of times. It becomes that. But it's not just that. The lust of the flesh is selfishness. Come on. It is anger. It's resentment. It is anything that goes against God's will. It's when you're having those negative thoughts about marriage and your spouse, and you don't know if you really love him or her no more. And you know, surely if I'd have married the right one, it wouldn't be like this. Oh, it might be that or worse. Like I said, when the grass looks greener on the other side, you just start fertilizing your grass. Where are you at? Say amen to that, somebody. Amen. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Now watch this, verse 17. For our flesh, our mind, will, and emotions are all of that lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against is the flesh. Watch this now. And these are contrary to one another. So there's a lot of times when people come in for help, they've done made up their mind they don't want help. They just want an excuse to get out. And they're wanting me to put my blessing on it. I can't do that. Can't bless divorce. And what kills me is when two Christians come in, say they're Christians. Seriously? Quiet in here. Help us, Lord. The lust of the flesh is so much to do with marriage. Now watch this. The Spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. Somebody say that's right. But look at this last part. So that you do not do the things that you wish. I think all of us wish. How many of you remember the day you got married? You better raise your hand. How many of you were there when you got married? How many of you were excited on that day? Hallelujah. How many of you are still excited? You better raise your hand. How many of you went to that altar and thought, oh boy, I can't wait to get married and then destroy it maybe within 1 to 3 to 5 to 10 years and get a divorce? That's my plan. Anybody have that plan in here? Going into your marriage? Well, no. Nobody gets married to get divorced. But yet divorce happens in over half of our marriages still today in the church. And here's the scripture. Now look at that. So that you do not do the things you wished. I'm not going to do the things I wished. Because sometimes when my flesh gets involved and I'm a little miffed at my spouse, it's a good thing I don't do the things that I'm thinking. I don't leave. I don't walk out. I don't go somewhere else. But if I'm not walking in the Spirit, my flesh will win out just like anybody else's. My wife, either one of us could walk out today. Come on now. I mean, right now, I think my wife's in children's ministry. She could be home cleaning me out. I don't know. I leave here, I got a meeting, and then after that meeting, I have another meeting, and then after that meeting, I'm going to go home and prepare for my life group at the house tonight. But when I get home, there could be an emptied out house. She gone. Now, I trust in God and faith that she's not going to be. But I'm not guaranteed anything unless we're walking in the Spirit. Because if either one of us gets in the flesh and that starts taking control of my marriage, then my marriage is subject to the fleshly world. Yours is too. That's why the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Especially in your marriage. Can I have a better amen? Amen? And again, all the lust of the flesh is, say it with me, selfishness. Come on, say it, selfishness. My way or the highway. my way, or if you don't give me my way, if I don't hit the highway, I'm going to put you through hell the rest of this week. I'm going to put the silent treatment on you. I'm going to put the yelling treatment on you. I'm going to get in your face. Well, that's God. Not. That ain't God. Quit acting like that. Grow up. Oh, that sounded a little mean. Okay, I got to move quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, do not be transformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Everybody say transformed. Transformed. By what? Of your what? Why does it not say spirit? Because your spirit is exactly like Jesus. You don't need a renewed spirit. You need a renewed way of thinking. You need to think different patterns about your marriage, about what covenant is, about the helper himself, which is the Holy Ghost. Be transformed by the way you renew your mind. Why? That you can prove it. Not think about it in theory, but that you will put this renewed mind to God's word in action in you, in your marriage, in your lifestyle, and then you're going to prove what God's will is for your life. Let me read that same scripture to you again out of the Passion Translation. Now, before I do, all your emotions are always formed in your soulish realm first. Now, the spirit does have emotions of joy. If you have tears with the spirit, it's going to be tears of joy most of the time. It can be tears of sorrow off of a loved one. You can cry over someone else's problems. But it's always going to be tenderhearted for someone else. Okay? So the spirit does have emotions. But any negative emotion you'll ever experience will never come out of the spirit of God. Because God does not have negative emotions. And he can only give to you what he is. So all negative emotions are going to come to you from an enemy that attacks you in your soulish realm. The way you think, the way you act, the way you talk towards your spouse in your marriage. Simple. Amen? This is why you need to renew the way you think about marriage and your spouse. Marriage is to your spouse, you know that, right? Male, female, that's it. Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions of the culture around you. Stop there and say, especially when it comes to marriage. Especially inside of your marriage. Especially the culture and time today when marriage has been destroyed to nothing. To meaningless. To it is whatever you say it is. It is not whatever you say it is. It is what thus saith the word of God. That is the standard. It'll always be the standard. And I don't care what supposedly Supreme Court says. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. And anything else is a perversion. Amen. Don't like it? Don't care. Well, we'll leave the church over this. Bye. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, and I love you. But let me tell you something. You ain't going to come here and get political correct and preaching. You're going to get what the Bible says. The Bible, it says man is created to marry a woman, and that is all it is recognized as marriage. And again, let me say it again. Everything else is a perverted version of it. I love y'all. Stop imitating the ideas and the opinions and the culture around you. Be inwardly, not just outwardly, but be inwardly transformed by, and the only way you can do this is by the Holy Spirit. You ain't going to get it through sitting around smoking weed. You ain't going to get it at the end of a bottle. You ain't going to get it through some other kind of incantations. You ain't going to get it through Oprah. You ain't going to get it through Dr. Phil. It can only come from Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? There is no other way to get this. And if you try to get it some other way, you're getting the worldly way, and you're going to get a worldly result. Be transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation on how you think. And I mentioned it last week. That's why you don't hang out with people who hate spouses. Right. Ladies, get away from men haters. Well, they're my friends and we really like to talk. They're going to talk you into something you don't want. Yes, sir. Guys, get away from the women bashers. Same thing. They're going to talk you into something you didn't even see coming. I love y'all. Of how you think. Now watch this. When you do this, here's the promise. This will, go ahead and put the rest of it up. This will empower you to discern God's will for your life and live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Amen. He'll look at your marriage and say, well done, marriage. Well done. I've seen what the enemy throwed at you, but He is in my word and it didn't even get up on you. You didn't take the bait. Come on. Put up the next note, please. Everybody say today's culture. Today's culture says if you ain't happy, which is an emotion, happiness is an emotion. Well, if I'm not happy, then I can walk away and try something else or someone else. We see this from the pulpit. And they'll have all the excuses in the world. He was a jerk. She wouldn't provide my needs. She was horrible. She went crazy. She did this. You see it from the pulpits. You see it on the elder board. You see it in the deacon board. You see it in the Sunday school teachers. You see it in every position in the church where men and women of God are supposed to be going after God's heart. But today we just glaze it over like it ain't nothing. If you're not happy, you're here to be happy. Go find somebody else. Get out of this toxic relationship. But these are the same people, teachers, pastors, whatever. They'll preach to you that God is able to do all things through Christ Jesus. But He can't save my marriage. He can't save my husband. He can't save my wife. I'm just going to give up. Now, I'm not saying divorce spells disaster. Because many people here, you probably went through that. But I'm telling you, maybe you didn't have the full knowledge of Jesus Christ about marriage. And maybe you stayed in the flesh a little too much and you operated through your emotions. But wherever you're at, put it under the blood and move on. And wherever you're at right now, because listen to me, let me tell you something. You can be married once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven. When you don't settle who you are with Christ in marriage, you're just going to keep repeating it no matter where you go. And so wherever you're at today, I want you to get real with Jesus, get over yourself, get into what the Bible says, and live the most blessed marriage you got right now. Everybody say question. First time you got married, raise your hand if you was there. Now let me ask you this. First or only time, whatever. Again, some people's been married more than once and there's different circumstances, okay? How much training did you get before you became a husband and wife? They just went through mine. They just got married here Sunday evening. Yeah. But most of us, especially if you got married a long time ago, there wasn't no training. And even what little bit of counseling I get to do still doesn't cover everything. Now, how many remember when you was going for your first real job, either after you got out of college, you got your degree or whatever? Did they move you right into the highest paid position? No, why? Because they wanted you to go in there and work at it, train to see if you knew what you was really doing. And then as you proved yourself, then you begin to move up the corporate ladder or up the ladder, whatever you do. It's amazing to me. Now, you're going to work that job maybe 20, 25, maybe 30 years, and you're going to retire. So there's only going to be a season of your life where you're working as a profession or as a craftsman or whatever you do. But yet you want to go to high school, you want to go to college to learn and train, then you get on the job training, and then sooner or later you become pretty efficient in what you're doing and hopefully successful, right? But we just jump into marriage like we just a pro. I'm fixing to become something I've never been. Have zero experience in being a husband. 1990, February 3rd, I had never been a husband up until that day. I had zero experience. But I walked into a role that I'm not only going to get, I don't get to retire from it. Because I done put in my time enough, I could be gone. I could have done retired. I mean, I've been last week 34 years. I should have done have a gold watch. You don't retire from marriage one day. This is a role I spend the rest of my life operating in. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we'll stand before God and give an account of the husband I was to my wife, and wife to the husband. How did you treat my daughter, son? Well, we had our good days and our bad. How did you treat my son, daughter? Did you know what you gave me? Yeah, but he didn't understand what he was getting either. Love everybody, equal opportunity. But don't you think before you jump into a role like that you should know a little bit about what the real deal is? And maybe get some knowledge and gain some wisdom and go ask some other people to instruct you or mentor you a little bit before you just jump out into the role? That's why I do not marry people that come to me. If you came to me today and said, hey, we're getting married this Wednesday, I'd look at you and say, I'm sorry, there's no way I can do your wedding. Well, why not? You're a man of God, whatever. I don't have enough time to put you through the little bit of counseling I do. And I refuse to marry somebody who won't have a little bit of training before they get into this. Because you don't know what you're getting into. It's a big ordeal. Scary. But great when you do it God's way. So if you didn't get help when you went into your marriage, what are you doing to get help now when it's in trouble? When technology changes in manufacturing, what do they want to send you to do? Go get some new training. That way you'll know how to do the latest thing. So when your marriage begins to get in a little trouble, most people just ignore it, hoping it'll go away. No, go get some. Somebody move my E. That's my ADDDDDD kicking in. But anyway. So I've asked, I love to get, especially young men, sometimes I'll get them when they're dating girls, and I'm like, number one, I want to know what your intentions are with this young girl. Well, I mean, I'm going to be honorable, blah, 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 blah. Did you ever see this going to marriage? Yeah. I'll say, what qualifications can you give me to think you're ready for marriage? Have you ever been married? No, sir. So you've never been a husband. So what makes you think you're qualified to be one now? Well, we're just going to jump in this thing and try and see what happens. That's the problem. That's the big problem we have nowadays. When we jump in and we try it and we ain't got no training in it, we don't understand what a biblical husband is. We don't understand what a biblical wife is. We try to swap the roles, and this one's trying to operate over here and this one's trying to operate here or independently or tell you what. No, I'm... And then your marriage gets in trouble, and you wonder why, and you're not happy, so it's time to split and go somewhere else. It's like that in marriage. It's like that in churches. It's like that in everything. All emotional, selfish-driven. That's just my first one. Oh, I got to move so fast. Energy. Everybody say energy. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can have enough energy for your marriage if you want it. Bible. I can do all things in my marriage because Christ strengthens me. I can be what my spouse needs. I can do it through the strength of Christ Jesus. But as long as you operate in your flesh, you won't have the strength to go through these things. Well, y'all okay? Because you're using your energy in other places of life. And then when you get home to your spouse, you just collapse and have no energy for your spouse. Oh, it's getting real good now. Energy is also another word for energy. Look it up. It's called the word strength. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We pray that you will be strengthened. Everybody say strengthened. With all his glorious power, so you will have all the what? Endurance. Talking about marriage now. Apply this verse to marriage. You'll have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with what? Joy. Everybody say joy. Joy comes from strength and endurance in a marriage. Thought that would go over better. Some of y'all must not be strong in enduring things. You over here whining, crying, and trying to defend and blame. Okay, I get it. I'll just go and preach what I want to now. The Passion Translation says, may we pray that you would be, everybody say energized. We pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Your attitude towards your marriage ought to be that. I've got power. It's exploding inside of me toward my spouse. Man, I've got great hope for the future of our marriage. They're not perfect. But I've got the hope of Christ and the love of God in me toward them that we can overcome all things. Everybody say all things. Real quickly, next note. The energy that you need for your marriage will only come through your personal relationship with Jesus and his word. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and His Word, then what do you expect your marriage to be? You're getting what you feed. Enough said there. But God and His Word, listen to me now, God and His Word will keep your life and your marriage in His kingdom order. Everybody say kingdom order. Now we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. We're going to get there when we get down to expectations, okay? But go ahead real quickly, put up Psalm 73:26. It says, my flesh and my heart, what's that? Soulish realm. My soulish realm fail. They do. Anytime I operate in them, they fail me. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When God becomes the portion of your strength in your heart, in your marriage, you're going to love your spouse no matter how bad they mess up. Because you ain't got it all together yourself as much as you think you do, probably. In those moments when you're tired, you're emotionally drained, you got kids, you got bills, you got people, you've overextended yourself, your energy's over here, you get up and you spend all your energy doing this, you get up and you go, we all work, we all got to work, so we got that. But then what do I do? What matters most in next in line? I'll tell you what matters most. It's where you're spending your time, your money, and your energy the most. And if your spouse is that, you will see that you will spend your time, your energy, your effort, and your resources towards your wife and your kids next. Anything outside that, which is hobbies are great, they're meant to enjoy it, but you got to have priority. Amen. Don't get it out of whack. Somebody say, don't get it out of whack. And now then, let's get to the last one. Oh, sweet Jesus, hurry. Everybody say, expectations. What did you expect? I know what I expected. What did you expect? Now, don't raise your hands because I don't want to have an office full of people this week. But did you get everything you expected? No. Because culture and society has told us what marriage is supposed to be. And that's why you shouldn't watch Cinderella. I'm getting to Hallmark. Y'all just stole my thunder. I was right there on it. It's in my notes, Hallmark. That's why when you don't have the Cinderella story, guys, or whatever our Cinderella story is, Rambo, okay? When we don't have that, and we have an expectation of that, and then when we get in the real world, in real marriage, and it's not producing the Cinderella or the Rambo story in our lives, now we're going to base on our emotions and our feelings, and we want to put our energy somewhere else to chase a feeling that will fulfill our expectations. Oh, expectations are good and bad. And then you have the Hollywood version of what marriages look like, which is not marriage at all. And that's being paraded. But turn to your neighbor and say, I live in the real world. In real world marriage, you usually have some form of this right here. You are going to go to bed at a certain time, or average a time. You're going to sleep hopefully a certain amount of time. And then you're going to get up and go through your daily routine. You're going to come home and repeat. And that's emotionally draining sometimes. And then you got, if you have kids, you have the kid factor. Then you got bills and the house. And then things go wrong. And then if somebody gets sick or afflicted in any way, then the tires on the car wear out. You got to replace that. And the shingles blew off the roof. And the dog bit the neighbor. And life happens. And you get frustrated. And you put all your energy and your time and your emotions in other people. But you don't have time for your spouse no more. Because they're just there. They've become familiar. Everybody say familiar. That's killing a lot of marriages too, but I don't have time to cover that right now. Get back in line. Now, let me get back to this. Who did you take your vows to? Did you really take your vow to your spouse, or did you kind of take them more towards yourself? I want to show you a quick video clip, and we're going to start... I'm not going to say, just go ahead and show it. This is what a lot of people really mean by their vows.
I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife. I vow to express my love for you every day. I mean, not literally. I mean, I'm telling you now, so you just know forever, so I won't actually have to say it, but, you know, you get the point. Like, I love you now, and that just means forever.
Right.
I'm going to hold you in my arms each night, as long as it leads to fooling around. I mean, otherwise, what's the point, right? You get it.
Here.
I vow to meet all of your needs. The financial ones, right? Emotional needs, that's really on you to figure out. It's over my head. I don't even know what it means, honestly. So you just got your friends for that. But, you know, the financial ones, I'm your man.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are my vows. For better or for worse, as long as we both shall live, or until I just don't want to listen to you nag anymore, and so I'm just going to tell all my friends you're nuts, and then I'll be good.
Some of y'all are going, you're laughing at that? That's atrocious. No, I see that all the time. That's in my office quite regular. That's really kind of somewhat men, especially the emotional part. We'll secure you financially, ladies, but that emotional junk, we don't know how to deal with that. Because that's why you ain't never went to the Bible and learned how to try to deal with that, guys. That's part of your job. Amen? So how many of you ladies would say, yeah, I kind of see that sometimes? Some of them didn't want no shy about getting that hand up. See y'all next week. Lest you think this is one-sided, let us now take a look at what a lot of the brides do when they are saying their vows. Go ahead.
I take you to be my lawfully wedded husband. I promise to meet all of your needs. You know, except for in the bedroom, because, like, kids have been difficult that day, or I'm just not in the mood. Like, mine are going to supersede yours at that point. I promise to always respect you. Except when you disagree with me, because I really shouldn't have to be making all these adjustments. I vow to support you in all of your ideas and your dreams. Except, you know, when it's something that, like, I really don't think is a good idea, or that you might not really be good at, that's a time when I'm just not gonna be able to get behind it. Because you get that, right? I vow to always speak highly of you. Except, you know, when you've done something like really dumb and like the joke is like too good to pass up, at that point, like I can't really adhere to that. These are my vows to you, for better or for worse, as long as we both shall live. Until, you know, I get tired of it and I want an out, so I just tell all my friends that you're a narcissist so they, like, feel bad for me and then I can just leave you.
The sad part of it is you've received more truth from those two clips than my whole message. No, I'm just kidding. But there's a lot of truth into that. I didn't marry me. I married my wife. My vows are not for me to be happy. They're for me to vow to God and to her that I'm here to make her life holy, happy. And vice versa, ladies, to the husband. And when you get to these kind of vows, most people, actually, their marriage ends up a lot of times right there in those vows. At least they're honest. So when you took that vow before God first and then all the witnesses and you and your spouse, did you tell a bold-faced lie in your vows? Because the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Right. Now, guys, I don't know, and I ain't got time to teach this just simply because we're trying to get out of here on time. But when you study vows, it is the same thing basically as covenant. It is never meant to be broken. And when you start breaking your vow, you're breaking your word to God first. That, you understand that? You took your vows to God, to that person. So you're a vow breaker to God Almighty Himself. And that ought to put the fear of God in you to line you back up to be a biblical husband and a biblical wife. But if you can't get past your emotions and feelings, then you feel justified to act any way you want to in marriage. I'm going to give you a sample of the Lord's vows. This is the vows I sometimes I customize a little bit, but So we have a vow like this. Do you so-and-so confirm it's the Lord's will, take this person as your lawful wedded wife or husband? And do you promise, there's the promise, before God and these witnesses that you will love them, comfort them, honor them with your life, and that you will keep your spouse in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, for better or worse, and that you will forsake all others and keep yourself as their lover and no one else's. And we say a good hearty, I do. Up until I decide I don't want to anymore. I do, but it's conditionally based on their behavior. Nowhere was that in the vow. Because a vow of this magnitude carries the agape love of God, which is unconditional vows, unconditional love. That's why it says for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. But let him lose that six-figure job, ladies, and somebody else over here has got one, you'd be amazed at how all of a sudden you feel drawn to this six figures. They get sick. You don't want to fool with them. I want a healthy personality. I wasn't in for this. Yes, you are. Is it too real in here today? As long as you both shall live. Remember, the H stood for heaven and hell. Satan will bring all kind of hell at your marriage through finances, through kids, through differences, through whatever it may be in life. Yes, hell. Has anybody ever not had hell thrown at their marriage in here that's been married longer than 24 hours? Raise your hand. We all have. But heaven is in the midst of hell if you'll go to heaven. Amen. You don't have to go to hell, just like you don't have to have a bad marriage. But you have to stay committed. You have to have, all right, I got to move on. Everybody say expectations. This is what I've been hearing about expectations from all the professionals. And there is a lot of truth in it. That sometimes, just go ahead and put the note up. Many times, come on, put that many times note up. Many times, it's not our spouse that makes us unhappy, it's what we expect of them. Boy, that's a big truth right there. So what do you expect? Let me tell every one of you what the basic package you can expect is what was said in the vows. Because that's what they told you they would do. That's what they told God they would be. That's what they told you. So this thing of, well, don't have any expectations of me. You're putting pressure on me. That's right out of the pits of hell. Now, there is a pressure you can't put on your spouse, and I'm fixing to tell you what that is. But let me tell you something straight as it is, I can tell you. You should expect your spouse to honor their vows. That absolutely should be and is required expectations within marriage. If you didn't want to do your vows, don't get married. The Bible says it's better to be single anyway. But to keep from burning, you've got love in your heart towards somebody, you come into that with a vow of who and what you're going to be to them. And when you say that, don't break that. Be that through the good and the bad. I think it just got too real in here almost for some people. You should turn to your neighbor. If your spouse is here, say, I expect those vows. Because you made them to God and me. Now look back at them, the one you married, and tell them, say, I feel the same way towards you, Jack. Or whoever, whatever their name is. I'm trying to hurry. Everybody say kingdom marriage. That's a whole other sermon series just by itself, but you got to understand kingdom to understand real marriage. And then there's the world's view of marriage, and then there's the kingdom. The world has expectations for your marriage, and the King of Kings has expectations for your marriage. Go ahead and put up the first note with the world system. The world says your spouse is supposed to make you happy, now watch this, all the time. Yeah. Ladies, there ain't a man on planet Earth make you happy all the time. Men, they ain't a woman on earth can make you happy all the time. Amen. Understand that, learn that, and the quicker you do, the quicker you'll be better. But society says the first moment you ain't happy in a marriage, or the second moment, or the third, or whatever's going on, you know, The first moment you begin to base it on your happiness, you've already created a walking system to walk out. Come on. Because that's the world. That's what the world tells you to do. You've only got a short time on earth. You need to be happy. And if this doesn't make you happy, go somewhere that makes you happy.
That's
horrible advice. The next one says this, kingdom. Now watch this. Kingdom says the king makes you happy. Now watch this. And he can all the time make you happy. Well, I was hoping I'd get a little more out of that, but that's okay. Maybe that'll sink into you. The king can make you happy all the days of your life in every situation. Doesn't mean every situation is pleasant to look at or to approach or to be in, but your joy comes from the Lord, and he can make you happy all the time. The problem is, in marriage today, we don't look to God to make us happy. I look to my spouse to make me happy all the time. All the time. I got a revelation of this years ago because me and my wife were in this thing. Because we got told when we get married, guys, marriage is tough. Put God in the center and you'll always be good. That was pretty much what we was told about marriage. But now that's all that really was being done back then. There were no counselings and this and bubbles. It just wasn't. And so when we got married and the differences began to arise, the thoughts of, man, I married the wrong one. Not supposed to be like this. She's supposed to make me happy. She don't want to do everything the way I want to do it. And hers was thinking the same thing. He don't do everything like I do. Well, of course not. We're different. And plus, I'm a male and she's a female. Vastly different. And instead of learning to appreciate the differences, we start battling about the differences. Now, we loved God and we loved each other, but we weren't connected in the emotional arena. I wasn't speaking her love language. She wasn't speaking mine. We didn't even know we had them. Until years later. Well, some of y'all just going through hell right now. So get help. Lord must have wanted an illustration. Let me give you my personal experience and the experience I've shared with many couples that has actually helped them when they apply it. When you put all that pressure on your spouse to be your source of happiness, all the time you've got to make me happy. Now, I want to make my wife happy all the time. Absolutely. But I'm a man. She's a woman. It ain't going to happen all the time. Because I'm a man. She's a woman. We're different. But my desire is I want to be my wife's source of happiness. Absolutely. And vice versa. I want the same return. Amen? This is yes, y'all. But until you understand what I'm going to tell you, but in those days when it was all the pressure, you're not making me happy, so I've got frustrated with you. I'm angry at you. My emotions are flowing. Well, you're getting on my nerves too with all this stuff. You don't want to be in. You don't want to be in. But we loved each other. And I'm praying about it. Lord, what's going on in the marriage? Surely it ain't going to be like this the rest of my life. How? Help me, Lord, help me. And I'll never forget it. He showed me and I'm not trying to be weird here, but it was like this. It was like a structure of a pole, like an old totem pole is what I could relate it to. And he said, your life's out of order. And I said, what do you mean my life's out of order? At this time, I'm just stepping into the first church I've ever pastored. We've got some kids on the way. We're doing life, and I'd always been working for God to hold my whole life in some capacity in the church. What do you mean? I'm a man of God, God. He said, yeah, but you're actually putting your wife ahead of me, your wife and your kids ahead of me. And I said, in all my godly wisdom, I said, I understand, God, but you gave them to me. Like I'm going to be sharp against the Lord. I said, you gave them to me, God. He said, yeah, but you ain't got me number one. Now, I'm just starting to pastor a church. And I'm standing in the pulpit preaching the word of God, and God is not number one in my life. But the church still began to grow. You want to know why? Because God honored the integrity of my life and the rest of my life going on, and he honored his word I was preaching. So the word always works. regardless if the person is, because there ain't no perfect person ever preached the word except Jesus. We all flawed. So I'm like, well, the church is still growing some, so I'm pretty good. And then God is a gentleman, and when I'm in my quiet time prayer, he goes, oh, it's still good right now, but it'll be better when you get things right. But I was struggling because the greatest love, I mean, I loved God, and I knew God loved me, and I grew up in a fantastic church that taught me the love of God. But I was struggling. I'm like, well, God, you know I love you, but you know I love my wife and my children, and I'd lay down my life for them, and you too, God. And he said, but I'm still not number one, and you know it. And I did know it. I had like wife, kids, then God, then the church, then me and everything else. That was my structure. And I wanted God to bless what wasn't him. And I wasn't operating in no curses or anything like that happening to us. God was still blessing us, but we wasn't walking in the full knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so what began to happen was my heart began to be burdened for it. Not in a I'm going to hell and you're sorry piece of junk. Yeah. But it was a loving just conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's why I tell people, conviction is a lovely thing from God. It lets him know that, lets you know that God loves you too much to leave you where you're at. Yeah. And so that's what I was experiencing with God. And then finally one day I'm just kind of by myself and I had a little bit of time at the office at the church. And I said, God, I'm surrendering. You know, it's not that I'm just miserable, but my spirit's grieving because of this, and I don't want to grieve your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I said these words. I said, I renounce my wife and my children as being first in my life, and I place you above everything. And, man, I felt this sweeping peace come over me. I mean, now, I didn't see this physically, but it was like little naked babies with wings and stuff playing harps. I mean, I was just having a moment of the spirit sweetness of the pure honey. Just, oh, I am feeling just so good. And a lot, the load has been lifted and I'm in the proper place with God now. And woo, it feels great. And I am so excited. And then I do get a vision from heaven. Now, did anybody ever hear grow up watching Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show? Okay, some of you youngers ain't going to know what this vision is, but just hang on. I am right in the middle of this sanctimonious, just precious time in the Spirit of God. Yeah, God, duh, that type of thing. And I get this vision out of the cartoon of Bugs Bunny. When Bugs Bunny did something really stupid, this little asterisk thing would pop up by his mind in a cloud with a, shall I say, donkey braying and kicking, going, eonk, eonk. And I'm seeing, I mean, I don't have a lot of visions, but this was as vivid as I can remember. I can remember like it was yesterday. And I'm in this great, glorious moment in the cloud of glory with the God and hearing all the things from heaven. And this pop, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. God, what? What is this? I said, because I know what that is. It's a jack. Rear end. And he's braying at me. And I heard a still small voice say, you made a mountain out of a molehill. Wow. He said, you see the structure like this. It was your wife and kids and then the church and then you. And he said, and then when you done that, you saw me and then Kim and the kids and then the church and that. I said, yeah. He said, it was never like that. He said, you need to understand my heart in this. Amen. So I watched in a vision as God was in that structure. It was God, it was my wife, and my kids. I still get choked up. And then it was a church and me. I love God. God reached down. He said, look and learn. And he took my wife and two kids and brought them up and set them in his lap. He said, it's the headship. It's not positioning, but it's the headship of the Lord. And I got it. What I had been doing in my marriage was expecting my wife to be God. And that was not fair to her. She can't be God. Only he can be first. Now, let me give you men some advice. Don't do what I did with this information. I go home excited, can't wait to tell my wife. I bust through the door. Baby, put the kids up. I got to talk to you now. What is it? Look at me. I chose the wrong words. Look at me right in the eye, baby. I don't need you anymore to be happy. What? And in my slick, sharp, lightning speed mind, I said it again. A little plainer. I don't need you to be happy anymore. Not realizing what she was hearing. She wasn't hearing the moment of God. She's hearing a husband tell a wife, I don't need you anymore to be happy. I'm out. She said, what are you talking about? And then I realized she's not hearing what I'm saying. That's why communication's important, guys. Pay attention. So I said, no, baby, you don't understand. I've been putting pressure on you to make me happy all the time, and you can't because you're human, but God's first, and he's just headship first now. You and the girls are in his lap, and then the church, and then me, and that's how it's supposed to be. And I need you to put me under right now. And now, I ain't going to say we ain't still had our times and moments, but let me tell you something. Ever since that day, it's been a whole lot better. Because when I get frustrated or something, and she does, we realize, well, it's not their job all the time to make me happy. And sometimes we are guilty of putting expectations on our spouse that they can't meet. So if you expect your spouse to make you happy all the time, then you've put an expectation of Godship on her, and she's not God. And ladies, your husband's not God. He's godly, but he ain't God. Okay, come on, Rod, get me out of here. Go ahead and put the next note up. Unmet expectations always lead to frustrations. And I didn't know how the way to put this. Frustration leads to fights. Hopefully just verbal, but sometimes they turn physical. Come on. That's the intention of unmet expectations in your marriage when you don't understand kingdom marriage. And it leads to not only fights, it can lead to death. It can lead to adultery. It can lead to divorce. And it will every single time when you operate just in your emotions in your marriage. I've never told anybody to stay in a marriage if you feel like your life is in danger or your kids. But I never tell them to divorce. Husband's gone crazy. He's drinking. He's drugging. He's in danger in our lives. Separate. Separate for a season. And let's give God a chance to work on him. I've never told a man that their wife went crazy. Y'all women out there looking at me like, really? Just ask a man. Women go crazy. They get violent. They get where you can't live in the house with them. Bible says it's better to be on the rooftop in the house with a nagging woman. Some of y'all just need to go on the roof. I just got a vision of some men going home and getting a ladder. I'll come down when you're ready. But the Bible says. But I do. I tell them, okay, the Bible actually allows for separation of time. But it doesn't say you got a right to divorce them. But once we separate, if you stay separated too long and you're not a godly man and a godly woman, I can tell you the path you're going to take. You're going to take the wrong path. The Bible never says separate for a long season. It says separate, work things out, and then come back together. But it's too easy just to throw it away nowadays. And that's what the world will do. It'll throw it away and go run to the next one. Next note. Got two more notes and we're out. Learning how to communicate your expectations will keep you from your frustrations. But it's learning how to communicate where they will understand, not just you. Because women and men hear differently. I ain't got time to talk about that today. But how many, now again, I want you to raise your hand on this one and be real, okay? And not call my office this next week. That way people around you will know they're not the only one. How many of you, since you've been married, has had frustration moments towards your spouse? Every real, honest person in here said yes. So you're not alone. Can I tell you the gap between communication and frustration is communication. If your expectations are here and you're not getting met, then the frustration is going to go to here. And what's in between this is communication. So if you want to bring your frustrations down, you communicate your expectations where they understand it. And you better be able to back it up biblically. So stand to your feet, and I want you to read this last note as we put it up. Guys, I kept you over again today, and I'm not apologizing. I needed it if you didn't. Just look at this statement. Let that settle in. It's one of the best communication sentences God's ever given me. Learn how to talk to and with your spouse. Don't talk at them. Most marriages, when they're in trouble, you're going to talk at them instead of to and with them. To and with them is to have their heart. At them is to prove your point. At them is always defensive. At them is putting the pressure on them. With them is God's communication, and to them is God's communication. I took my vows to my wife, and I want to live with her in those vows. So, and I haven't perfected this. And I'll just say by faith, neither has she. But we're a lot better than we've ever been in there. Because marriage is a constant work, and it's always being helped by the Spirit. Bow your heads with me. If you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you say, it's not a salvation message. Every message is a salvation message. And if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you knew today, if you died, you would split hell wide open, because the only entrance to heaven we have is through the blood of Jesus. And you've never accepted Him. We're not asking you to join church today. You're not going to do that. You're not going to be a part of a religious thing today. We offer you a personal relationship with the one who did die for your sins and paid your sin debt. It's already paid for, but you have to receive Him as your Lord and your Savior and surrender your life to serve Him the rest of your life in the earth. And if that's you today, with no strings attached, just lift your hand right now and say, today's my day. I want to give my life to Christ. Anybody in here? And maybe online. I know it's not really a big pull for that on this message, but to me, it's worth it every time, just this chance that somebody might need that. How many of us did this say today, I've allowed my emotions to get out of hand. I've put a lot of my energy in other places, and my spouse gets basically leftovers that don't even get in the microwave sometimes to get heated up. They get coldness. They get shafty answers. Just don't bother me. I want to get home and just be without you. Our emotions have been in the wrong place. Our energy has been spent in other places. And our expectations have just been a wreck sometimes with our spouse. And we've used it to blame him or her. But today we want to surrender our spouse under the headship of Jesus Christ. Today we want to surrender our children under the headship of Jesus Christ. And we want to come into biblical kingdom alignment for marriage today. It does say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, to honor, to comfort, to be their lover and no one else's. Keeping ourselves only unto each other so long as we both shall live. If that's you today, just lift your hand and say, Lord, renew my mind. Transform my mind to a biblical man and woman of God, a biblical husband and wife. And I thank you for the hands that are reeling up today. And guys, my office is always open. If you need help, I want to help you all I can. And there's so much more to this. But I thank you so much for your patience, for sitting here those into overtime and listening to this. I'll do better next week. But Lord, I love you, and I love every marriage, and I know your plan is to rekindle the love that's maybe grown cold and to expect God to heal our marriage through us in our agreement with His Word. We love you, Father. Come on, can you tell God you love Him? I love my vows that I took to you. Come on, say it. If you're married, say this with me. Say, I love the vows I took to you and to my spouse. Forgive me if I failed. Renew my mind to you and my spouse, because I'm not going to be a liar anymore. I love you, Jesus. If your spouse is with you, look at them, tell them you love them. And Father, we give you glory in the name of Jesus. And the church says, come on, give him praise.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.